Well, we are just days away from the wildest couple of weeks of the college football offseason getting underway. I'm Pete Mundo. We are Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12, and we appreciate you being a part of the show. This is going to be the most chaotic 2 weeks that we have ever seen in college football, and it's exactly what we need. So the transfer portal window is set to open on Tuesday, April 16th. It'll run through April 30th. And according to all the folks in the know, the national people, it is going to be like anything we've ever seen. It is going to be crazy. It is going to be stunning. It is going to be chaotic. And it is going to send fans into an absolute tizzy. And to me, that's what we need. We need this system to break, and we need it to break right now. And that's what I'm hoping happens over the next couple of weeks. I am hoping that the transfer portal is so nuts. Guys are shifting all over the place. They're moving left and right. There are guys leaving that nobody expects to leave. And finally, fans and boosters and presidents and coaches and commissioners say enough is enough. This is freaking nuts. Because I love this sport. You love this sport. We all love this sport. But right now, as great as it is, and it still is the greatest sport in North America, it needs fixing. The transfer portal and the name, image, likeness was set up to fix and correct a wrong. Players who couldn't get a car dealership to pay them a few bucks for a car. Guys who had to transfer and sit out a year despite the fact that their coach left them hanging out to dry. That was wrong. It was inherently unfair. But like everything in life, politics, news, sports, the pendulum starts in one place and we swing it way too far in the other direction. And that's exactly what's going on here. We started off in a place where the player got screwed. The player did not have enough rights. Now we're in a place where the player has too many rights, where the player is basically working on a one-year contract. And by the way, that contract is not really worth a lot anyway when you talk about, you know, the broader picture here. There are reports of players threatening to not play in a game last year in certain conferences for certain teams if they didn't get fill-in-the-blank, X amount of dollars. They basically held their teammates, their coaches, and their programs hostage. And there's nothing to prevent that from happening again. And it needs to change right now. If not, the sport will be forever broken. So I'm hoping these next 2 weeks are a total S show. I'm hoping that these next 2 weeks in college football unfold like even I can't even imagine. I hope it is all of our worst nightmares, because that would be the best thing for the sport, because we desperately need this system to break. We need to all stand up and say enough's enough. I can believe two things are true. Yes, college football is the greatest sport we've got, but man, it needs some fixing. And it needs some fixing desperately right now. So what does all this mean for the Big 12 Conference? I don't know. I don't know how ugly it's going to get for the Big 12 Conference. My fear, and this is my fear, is that certain players at certain SEC and Big Ten programs start moving and shaking around. And then what happens? The SEC and the Big Ten starts backfilling that with players from the Big 12. Now, what does that mean for the Big 12? I don't know. Do they start backfilling with ACC or AAC or other group of five players? I guess that's possible. But once again, I don't want that to be the case. I don't believe that the Big 12 is going to cause any of this drama. Because one of the reasons the Big 12 is right now the most competitive and most intriguing conference in America is because you can't really predict it. Yes, teams have name, image, likeness collectives. They have the funds. They can pay who they need to pay, when they need to pay them. That's absolutely true. But no one in the Big 12 is just opening up a blank checkbook and saying we got 50 grand for this guy, 100 grand for that guy, half a million for that guy. That's not going on in this conference right now. And it's giving it great parity. And I think you'll see that parity continue on display over the next couple of seasons, at the very least. But my fear for the Big 12 is not that the Big 12 is poaching, you know, different players from the Big 10 or the SEC. My fear is the Big 10 and the SEC guys start making moves, and then the Big 12 gets impacted on the back end as basically a feeder league, where suddenly Oregon needs itself a cornerback, and they're fishing at TCU, Kansas State, Iowa State, wherever. And they're basically like, we got to fill this spot at cornerback. You come here, we're paying you $100,000. I mean, whatever the number is, I don't know. But that's my fear. And then these guys who might be getting a little something from Iowa State, Kansas State, TCU are like, I can't turn this down. I can't say no right now to this money from Oregon in this made-up scenario I've got here. So I've got to go. I have to go explore that. And I don't want that for the Big 12. But that's my fear here over the next couple of weeks. Because you are hearing guys at all levels complain about what's to come. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Thanks for joining us. Hit the thumbs up right below the video if you're just hopping on. That helps us tremendously. And if you have not yet subscribed to the channel, make sure you're doing that. It's a great way to help the show. And if you're on the podcast, make sure you drop that 5-star rating and review. It takes you 10 seconds. We greatly appreciate you doing that. So I'm looking at all this and I'm saying, okay, if Lane Kiffin is complaining, then you know it's going to be bad. Lane Kiffin is blasting the unregulated transfer portal system. Now, they've got the number one transfer portal class, and he thinks he's going to keep them intact. But he talked to 24/7 Sports, and he knows what's coming. And he wrote, and he said here, per 247 Sports, he could not help but lament about it again, even though he has been one of the biggest beneficiaries of it. So he said, it's really, really a poor system. This is Lane Kiffin talking. Here we go again. Guys already announcing they just got somewhere in January. They're leaving again already, so they just got paid, took up spots. And it's not their fault. It's not the player's fault at all. It's the system that's created that they're utilizing. That's exactly right. This is insane to have this secondary transfer portal window. I mean, the system's insane enough, but to have this transfer portal window close after the season, what, January, right? December, January, and then open it again in April and have this opening in April is nuts. Guys got to campus in January, they go through spring ball, and now they're like, you know what? I'm going to go somewhere else because I feel like it. This wasn't a great fit. I mean, you know, I understand that in the real world, you and I can kind of get up and go. I mean, I can't. I host a radio show in Kansas City. I've got a contract. But I know in most cases, if a job's not working out, you can get up and go. But this is not most jobs. This is not working out your area cubicle. This is not, and I'm not downgrading the job, but this is not flipping burgers at McDonald's where, you know, someone else fills in the backside. You've got people who are relying on you. You have teams that you're trying to put together. You are expecting certain people to be on that said team. This is not your run-of-the-mill, blue-collar, white-collar job. It's just not. It's different. It's sports. There's a reason that professional sports have contracts. And if we're truly going to go away from the student-athlete, well, that's one thing. Then just get away from it. Don't do the whole student athlete, but kind of a free agent. And not only a free agent, I mean, I've been calling these kind of one-year deals, like everyone's on a one-year contract, essentially. But it's really not even that, right? It's not. It's not a one-year contract. You show up somewhere in January, you could leave next week. You were there for 3 months. Get up and go. Did you get paid? I don't know. I mean, there's rumors that some of these programs will pay you up front. You take their money and you bounce. Now, here's what else I believe has to happen. And this is going to be hard. The easier thing to do is to regulate the entire sport in the way that it desperately needs. I don't think the feckless NCAA is going to do a damn thing about it. I certainly don't want the government involved because they screw most things up. in the purest of ways, in the purest environment, what you would do here is eventually the boosters are going to have to say enough's enough. The fans are going to have to say enough's enough. The everyday fans. The everyday fans that these programs right now are shaking down for donations to the collectives. I mean, you're watching this show. You're a diehard fan of your college football or college basketball team. Tell me, just be honest. You can comment right now on YouTube and Facebook Live and Twitter. X, sorry. You're getting shaken down, right? You're getting emails. You're getting requests. Hey, donate to the collective. Donate to the collective. Donate to the collective. You buy tickets. You buy parking. You might donate to the university on top of that. You buy food. You buy beer if they sell it there. You buy merchandise. How many more things can they soak the average college football and college basketball fan for? I know there's a lot of big benefactors like the Tyson's Foods guy who can just throw all the money at John Calipari and get him to Arkansas. But there's a lot of everyday fans who are being asked to donate to these collectives. And by the way, you're generous and you care about your teams, so you're doing it. But I genuinely think that you are getting taken advantage of. You are. You're getting taken advantage of. And the teams have to do it. The programs, the universities have to do it in some cases because they have no choice. These programs are not swimming in cash like we're led to believe. They've got to pay all this money now. Yes, they have big TV contracts, but that money has to go to pay for the water polo team to fly halfway across the country for Oregon to play Rutgers or for UCF to play BYU. So they're not as flush in cash as we would expect them to be. And they're turning to you to pay. Now, I don't know about you, but I think eventually that's got to end. Eventually, especially if we hit, and we're already in pretty tough economic times, but if we hit any type of economic recession, a lot of this money is going to dry up. I mean, the first thing that a lot of people are going to cut is the donations to the collectives at their alma maters for guys who might be getting up and leaving after 3 months. I mean, if I donated to a collective and that collective was paying a guy in January, February, and he didn't play a single snap for my team and he bounced in April, I'd be hesitant to ever give him a dollar again. And I don't know how you prevent it. I don't know what you do. But I'm telling you right now, the average fan who's dishing out hundreds and thousands of dollars for their favorite team is not going to keep ponying up for this sham of a system. They're going to be done at some point. At some point, they're going to say enough's enough. Now, maybe every school has its billionaire who's willing to foot the bill, right? Maybe like Tillman Fertitta at Houston comes to mind. Maybe you got enough of those guys. You got one or two at every school, and they just kind of foot the bill. But smart guys don't like getting screwed. They didn't become billionaires or multi-millionaires getting screwed. At some point, they don't like throwing good money after bad money. Even if it's inconsequential to them, even if the money is not going to change their lives either way, 50 grand here, 100 grand there, they don't like feeling like suckers. And right now, it feels like we've got a sucker system going on in college football and college basketball, and the next 2 weeks might completely break it. If the transfer portal is as insane as people are projecting it's going to be. I'm Pete Mundo. We are Heartland College Sports. I'm rolling through some of your comments here. Dr. Bickbeard, gosh, I like that name. It's not going to be good on Facebook. Also writing valid concerns, very valid concerns. Gus writes here, Pete, I go to Houston. I had season tickets to the basketball game. I paid parking. Now the NIL collectives are asking me to donate so the players stay. No way, Jose. Well, that's a great example of an everyday fan. Now, here's the thing. Houston has done a great job on the basketball side, especially retaining, what, 4 of 5 starters. Jamal Shedd is the only one who's likely going to the NBA. They added the big Oklahoma transfer over the weekend, which is a big hit for them. Houston may be the preseason number one team in America in college basketball next season, and it will be well-deserved if they end up in that spot. But, you know, is Tillman Fertitta going to be the guy who's going to carry that? their billionaire alum? Or is it going to be guys like Gus that they keep having to shake down? And finally, guys like Gus are going to say enough's enough. Fred says, Pete, I have been directly asked to give to NIL, and I'm a small fish. I didn't donate because I feel NIL and the transfer portal are not being properly implemented. No, they're not. And if the next 2 weeks go like we expect, this thing could really break, and we need it to happen, by the way. I want the next 2 weeks to be absolutely hideous. I want the next 2 weeks to be absolutely horrendous, because if not, it's not going to change anytime soon. And we're going to have this drip, drip, drip of a system. Everyone's going to complain, but nothing's going to happen. So this might mean severe pain for some of our teams. It might mean severe pain for some of your favorite teams. But for the longevity and the well-being of this sport, I believe we need it. And we need it to happen as soon as possible. Pete, without the NCAA, things will get out of control. It will take the presidents of the institutions and the ADs to discuss the issues with the NCAA. I'm saying create this brand new regulatory body. That may be the best way forward. Yeah, I mean, the NCAA didn't want to do anything about this. That's why we're sitting here today with this situation that we've got, because the NCAA has been so feckless. They've had no cojones for years now, right? They've been nickel and diming guys over nothing. Like Oklahoma State can't play in the tournament due to recruiting violations, you know, minor capacity recruiting violations. But guys getting paid and transfer portal stuff, they were like, don't look at us. Don't look at us. So it is just an absolute joke. Now, what are some answers here to the portal? Some of the answers to the portal, as far as I'm concerned, number one transfer free of charge. One transfer free of charge. Your second transfer, you got to sit out a year. Someone tell me how that's not unreasonable. I also would make it, and I think the conferences should do this, and the SEC is kind of doing this, where basically they're discouraging you from transferring within the conference. If you transfer within the conference, you got to sit out a year. That's the SEC's rule. And I would like to see that rule implemented across all conferences. I believe that should happen across the board. Because the idea that somebody would go from Kansas to Kansas State any given year, vice versa, Baylor to TCU, you know, just think of the example that you want to think of. And it's bothersome on a sportsmanship level. It's bothersome from a rivalry perspective. Try to deter people from transferring within the conference. You get one transfer. The second one goes back to the old school rules. You got to sit out a year. If not, this chaos is not going to end. Nothing is going to get better in college football if we don't, and basketball, but college football, because that's the portal window that's opening this week, if we don't stop it now. We got to stop it. Now, when you look at the bigger picture here, what do I think is going to happen? I keep getting that question as well. I don't know. I'm hearing crazy things, but I don't want to start talking about those because that would be irresponsible. I can't talk about every rumor. I just know that you've got coaches, ADs, and low-level staffers who are starting to kind of chirp a little bit, and they are expecting a total bloodbath. And at first, I was dreading it the last couple of weeks, and now I'm just like, bring it on. We're here. It's happening. Bring it on. Break the system, and let's get this thing figured out. Because if not, it won't get better anytime soon. And they're going to keep trying to squeeze you, the diehard fan, who's dealt with 20% inflation the last 3 to 4 years. They're going to keep shaking you down for a couple hundred bucks here and a couple hundred bucks there, all for a guy who may not play a single snap and who may not score a single point for your team. And that is a ridiculous ask of these universities. But they're desperate and they have no choice right now. Let's see what else we've got here. Don says, Pete, need the rules, one transfer for free, then sit out a year unless the athlete is in their undergrad year, then they can have a second one free. No, how about this? All right, you want to do this on the fly together? How about this, Don? One free transfer. The only way you get a second free transfer is if your coach leaves. Deal? If your coach leaves after your first transfer, you get a second free transfer. Because I always think that's crappy when a coach walks out on his team after he gets a guy to commit, after he signs his national letter of intent. So I'll give you a second free transfer, or I'll give you unlimited transfers after number one, only if the coach leaves. That's it. No way, no how. Tim says, first transfer is free. Any transfer after that, you sit out the year. There, okay, there you go. Pete, unless the coach leaves or the coach gets fired. All right, sorry I missed that one earlier, Tim, but I'm with you there, buddy. I agree with that. I think that's the way to play this thing, and it's the best way to square it up. As for how you pay the players, you know, this is the sticky part of this. There has to be a universal way to pay these guys, whether it's unionizing them in some way, shape, or form, or doing something better than what we've got. You know, NIL was intended to be for your local star quarterback. I don't know, let's say Avery Johnson at Kansas State. It was intended for Avery Johnson to go do a Subway commercial for his local Subway in Manhattan. It was intended for Hunter Dickinson to go do Quick Trip commercials. It was intended for, I'm trying to think of another example here, Ollie Gordon to go do a Love's commercial. For Baron Morton to do a Bucky's commercial. For trying to just keep going around the conference. Trying to get all my geographical examples met here. Trying to get RJ Harvey to do a Publix commercial. There you go, UCF fans. You like that one? Trying to get... I'm trying to get something up in Iowa. Give me something up in Iowa. What do you guys love up there in Iowa? Quick, easy chain that we can use as an example here. Come on, I know you got something for me up that way. What's that crappy gas station pizza you guys have up there? They have it down here in Kansas City. I never go. I went once. It was horrible. You got the taco pizza? Come on, someone's got the answer for me. The taco gas station pizza. What? Casey's. I love Casey's, but I can't stand the pizza. I know you. I know this is sacrilegious to say to Iowa State fans, but I'm sorry, it stinks. But anyway, Rocco Becht doing a Casey's pizza commercial. That's what it was meant for. It was not meant for what it's turned into, which is shake down the fans, shake down the alums, and shake down the boosters for a couple extra bucks. That's not what this is all about or what it was supposed to be about, but it's what this is all turned into. And now here we are, and we've got to reap what we sow. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. It is great to be here as we roll through another show. Keep an eye on this show these next 2 weeks because it's going to be absolutely nuts. Subscribe to the channel on YouTube. Hit the 5-star on the podcast. We so appreciate you doing that. And make sure you're also hopping on the Heartland College Sports message boards. That's going to be fun. Yes, there was some Masters talk this week. If you're watching on YouTube, I've got my Masters shirt on. Congratulations to Scottie Scheffler. Second Masters in the last 3 years. Damn impressive and an easy guy to root for. Go Big 12. I'm Pete Mundo. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.